of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And today we're going to consider verses 19 and 20. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, as we consider the third under the topic of wisdom's enviable heritage, which indicates that wisdom is beneficial. Now, you'll recall that the theme of Proverbs chapter 3 is the excellence of wisdom. And in this chapter, there is a fourfold revelation that wisdom is justified of all her children. Our Lord said in Luke chapter 7, verses 33 to 35, that John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Now, in this third chapter of Proverbs, the first 10 verses describe for us wisdom's wholehearted devotion. For wisdom is the way to peace, to success, to guidance, to health, and to prosperity. In verses 11 and 12, wisdom's salutary chastening. Wisdom is the means, or at least the chastening of wisdom, is the means to holiness, devotion, submission, and assurance. And now we come in verse 13 to that great statement, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And this indicates that wisdom is a heritage to be envied indeed, and wisdom, of course, as you understand, is the application of knowledge, how to use knowledge to the best in the interests, whereas understanding is apprehension of the true meaning or true significance of facts. So the person who gets wisdom and the person who gets understanding is happy indeed. We saw from James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5, that James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials or testings, knowing that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom in relation to facing the trials, temptations, testings of life, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, or trial, or testing. For when he is tried, that is, when he is approved, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now we've already seen that wisdom is incomparable, incomparable in her merchandise, incomparable in her profit, incomparable in her value, and incomparable in her charm. Wisdom also is satisfying, and now we come today to look at wisdom is beneficial. Now, happy is the man that getteth wisdom, and the man who getteth understanding. For we read in verses 19 and 20, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. All right, wisdom is beneficial. Wisdom is beneficial in creation. And of course, that which is referred to in this passage is material creation. Verse 19 tells us that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. Now there are many passages of Scripture that speak about how the Lord brought into being the heaven and the earth, and how the Lord also took and brought cosmological order out of chaos in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. The Word of God tells us that the Lord spoke, and it was done. So the very command, the fiat of God, is that by which all things came into existence. The Bible also tells us that when the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And then, of course, in line with this, we read in the first chapter of the Gospel, as recorded by John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And then in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So there's no question about whom John is referring to when he speaks of a person whom he calls the Word. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in His pre-incarnate manifestation, and then the Word became flesh. So in His pre-incarnate existence, in all eternity past, He was the Word of God, God's Word of expression, God's Word of wisdom. And so by wisdom, the Lord brought the earth into being. By wisdom, He founded it. And by understanding, He established the heavens. There's a very interesting verse in the book of Job that says, "By His Spirit He garnished the heavens." And of course, that great passage indicates that by the Holy Spirit, God put an array of splendor upon all the heavens. It gave it its beauty. And so it's by understanding that God established the heavens. No wonder the psalmist in that great 19th psalm said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun," and so forth. So the heavens do declare the glory of God. And then God's eternal power and Godhead are known by the things that are made, God's masterpiece in material creation. So no wonder the writer of Proverbs then declares in verse 19, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath He created or established the heavens." So wisdom is beneficial in creation, in material creation. Now, the same word that's used for the things that are made in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 is used for workmanship in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And so when we turn to that passage, we read, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so you see, the new creation, that is the spiritual creation, those who by faith in Jesus Christ are saved, are God's workmanship, God's work of art, God's great artistic display to men. And so, wisdom is beneficial not only in the creation of material things, but wisdom is beneficial in the creation of men and women in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when we have been born again, we've been made anew, we've become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are His workmanship, and He displays His wisdom to all the heavenly the creatures in what he's done for the church. Wisdom is beneficial in creation. But wisdom is beneficial in blessedness, in verse 20. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. This has to do, on the one hand, with material blessings. By his knowledge, and the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. And this word dew is gentle rain, and it just simply indicates that by the knowledge of God, not only by his knowledge, but by the very word of God and by the wisdom of God as he gives command to the clouds to drop down their dew, we get the gentle rains that come upon the earth in order that there may be seed for the sower and bread to the eater, and that that rain and snow that comes upon the earth prepares the earth, rather, for seed time and harvest. And so there comes blessedness upon the earth as a result of the wisdom of God in his provision for earth's needs. But then this is also true in the spiritual realm. For that passage I just referred to in Isaiah is a passage that says, "So is my word. It shall not return unto me void, the Lord said. For it said, it shall accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it. It shall do what I please." And so the word of God is likened unto the gentle rain and the snow that comes and settles upon the earth and does not return back to the heavens, but waters it and soaks it so that there can be seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The word of God comes like that gentle rain upon the soul of men who will yield to that word and bring spiritual blessing unto the heart and unto the life. And this is accomplished by the wisdom of Almighty God. Now, by way of conclusion, let me call attention to the fact that in Christ, wisdom's enviable heritage is made available. For in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, we read, "In whom," that is, referring to Christ, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 9. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written in Jeremiah 9, verses 23 and 24, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And Romans 8, verses 14 to 17, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So when a person receives Jesus Christ as his Savior from sin, that person then immediately receives the one whom God makes unto us wisdom, the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and therefore we become heirs of God. Indeed, wisdom does have an enviable heritage, and those who know the Lord Jesus Christ and come to possess that which God provides are to be envied indeed.
You've been listening to another lesson by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. The Bible Institute of the Air is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.